CD 2.
May I assist you, good ladies?
It was a rich and wonderful voice, with every diphthong gliding beautifully into place. It was a golden brown voice. If the creator of the multiverse had a voice, it was a voice such as this. If it had a drawback, it was that it wasn't a voice you could use, for example, for ordering coal. Coal ordered by this voice would become diamonds. It apparently belonged to a large fat man who had been badly savaged by a moustache. Pink veins made a map of quite a large city on his cheeks. His nose could have hidden successfully in a bowl of strawberries. He wore a ragged jerkin and holy tights with an aplomb that nearly convinced you that his velvet and vermin robes were in the wash just at the moment. In one hand, he held a towel with which he had clearly been removing the makeup that still greased his features.
I know you, said Granny. You done the murder.
She looked sideways at McGrath and admitted grudgingly,
Leastways it looked like it.
So glad. It's always a pleasure to meet a true connoisseur. Ulwin Vitoller at your service. Manager of this band of vagabonds,
said the man, and removing his moth-eaten hat, he treated her to a low bow. It was less an obeisance than an exercise in advanced topology. The hat swerved and jerked through a series of complex arcs, ending up at the end of an arm which was now pointing in the direction of the sky. One of his legs, meanwhile, had wandered off behind him. The rest of his body sagged politely until his head was level with Granny's knees.
Yes, well, said Granny.
She felt that her clothes had grown a bit larger and much hotter.
I thought you was very good, too, said Nanny Ogg. The way you shouted all them words so graciously, I could tell you was a king.
I hope we didn't upset things, said McGrath.
My dear lady, said Vitoller, could I begin to tell you how gratifying it is for a mere mama to learn that his audience has seen behind the mere shell of grease paint to the spirit beneath?
I expect you could, said Granny. I expect you could say anything, Mr. Vitoller.
He replaced his hat, and their eyes met in a long and calculating stare of one professional weighing up another. Vitoller broke first and tried to pretend he had not been competing.
And now, he said, to what do I owe this visit from three such charming ladies?
In fact, he'd won. Granny's mouth fell open. She would not have described herself as anything much above handsome, considering. Nanny, on the other hand, was as gummy as a baby and had a face like a small dried raisin. The best you could say for McGrath was that she was decently plain and well-scrubbed and as flat-chested as an ironing-board with a couple of peas on it, even if her head was too well-stuffed with fancies. Granny could feel something, some sort of magic at work, but not the kind she was used to. It was Vitola's voice. By the mere process of articulation, it transformed everything it talked about.
Look at the two of them, she told herself, primping away like a couple of ninnies.
Granny stopped her hand in the process of patting her own iron-hard bun and cleared her throat meaningfully.
We'd like to talk to you, Mr. Vitoller.
She indicated the actors who were dismantling the set and staying well out of her way and added with a conspiratorial whisper,
Somewhere private.
Dear lady, but of a certain, he said. Currently, I have lodgings in yon esteemed watering hole.
The witches looked around. Eventually, McGrath risked, You mean the pub? It was cold and draughty in the great hall of Loncre Castle, and the new Chamberlain's bladder wasn't getting any younger. He stood and squirmed under the gaze of Lady Felmet.
Oh, yes, he said. We've got them all right, lots.
And people don't do anything about them?
Said the Duchess. The Chamberlain blinked.